Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. We thank you for your ears this morning and your time, most of all. We'll ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news, at which point we'll take those calls right after you dial 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you hear your question or comment to our guest. Just a brief announcement. Our interviews with local candidates will continue tomorrow morning at 9:30. We have four in a row. Let me see. We have Endred Nicholas, Jim Rafferty, Dwayne Yunker, and Rahanan Hinkles, all on the schedule for tomorrow from 9:30 to 10:30, just so that you may cast an informed vote in the coming May election. In the meantime, say welcome to our guest today, Josephine County Treasurer Dustin Calvo is in studio. And Dustin, once again, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio.
Thank you, Chuck. All right. It's great to be here.
What are you dealing with right now in the treasurer's office?
So, actually, it is another tax season.
I was going to say, it's budget time, too, isn't it?
It is also budget time. So, we've gotten our budget out. Treasury and a couple other of the departments have to get in a little bit earlier than everybody else for some grant that we get from the state. And so, we've gotten that in, and it's getting processed and getting ready to go to the state. But yeah, it's
what do they look for? What do you have to provide them with?
So we get funding from, it's called the CAFA. I don't know exactly remember exactly what it stands for. It's an acronym. But the state gives us money based off of the assessor kind of drives the grant. So it's money to help support the tax collection efforts and the tax assessments. Some of that money goes to the clerk's office because she does the BOPTA is what it's called. It's basically a way for folks to, if they aren't happy with the decision that was made in their taxes, they have that opportunity to have a mediator, basically.
They can contest the amount.
Yeah. So we all get a little bit of that money. The assessor gets most of it because he's got the lion's share of the job there with assessing the taxes and appraising the properties. So we have to make sure that's in so that we can get it into the state within the time that they allow.
What total amount do you expect?
I think I saw it on the, it's on the board's meeting today, and I think it was just a little over $2
million. $2 million. How much of that do you get?
Last year we got, I want to say about $100,000, $200,000 of that for us. It might have been a little bit more. I haven't looked at the numbers. I looked at them for a budget, and then they promptly left my brain.
Not enough to pay for the operation.
No. So it pays for a portion of what we have for some of our FTEs, so some of our staffing and different some of the supplies and stuff that we need to do the job of the tax collection.
All right. We were talking about what you're doing right now in terms of getting in for tax and budgeting season.
Yep. So right now, tax statements or the tax reminders have gone out to our vendor to produce, and those should be going out in the mail here either yesterday or today.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. So these are the last trimester statements. So these are folks that are paying on trimesters. So these are just reminders. Again, I think I talked about this the last time, as in, we are only required to send out the November statements by law. We send these out as reminders to folks because we know that they kind of rely on them to as a reminder to pay their taxes and to pay their last trimester. So those go out, and then folks will have until the 15th of May to pay that last trimester. Anything after that would then that's when we start to go into our delinquent tax statements and start looking at the collections processes.
All right. Do you find that sending these out, what's not required, you send it out quarterly, every trimester? Every trimester. Does that really increase the cash flow?
It really does help. So we saw last year with the change of the treasurer, they didn't go out in the January for the February trimester, and we did see a significant drop in our tax collection rates. We saw once we got them out in May, which I was able to do when I got on in March over there as a chief deputy, we did see an increase of tax collection back up. So they really do affect folks being able to pay on time and make sure that they're getting them in there.
Yeah, percentage right off the top of your head increase?
If I remember correctly, it was like a I don't remember the percentage, but it was significant enough to notice when we pulled the numbers that there was a dip and then an increase back up when we sent out the May reminders.
All right. Those monies coming in, how much does the county really rely on that cash flow three times a year?
So it's a pretty, it's the main way that we get our money in for the county. A portion of that obviously goes to the county as a whole, but then we also have things like our law enforcement district that we just established, not last year, but the year before, mm-hmm. I believe. It goes to the animal shelter, it goes to the jail, to juvenile. So we do get, that money is relied on by a large portion of our departments that are general fund. So we get that money in. And then that's, I think I was looking at the numbers, and this year, the 25-26 tax year, which is the year we're currently in, I think that the county was getting about $17 million of the $108 million that's levied. So that's a small portion, but it is something that we rely on.
And then you distribute all those funds to the various agencies.
Yeah, so we have, I want to say about 20 different districts that we distribute to. So those are the school districts. We also have the cities, City of Grants Pass, City of Cave Junction get money. We have some water districts, some rural fire districts that get that money. And then Rogue Community College gets money, the library. So we, and that's a portion of what, as the treasurer, we do. The tax collector gives that information to the treasurer. And then that's the treasurer.
That's the right hand giving it to the left hand.
Yeah, basically. In other counties, it is the tax collector is separate from the treasurer. So that's a little bit different. But here it's all in one house. So we just take that information and then switch hats in the same breath. So
is this a good system, or should we look at a change? What do you think?
I think it's a good system. So in some counties, it's the assessor who's also the tax collector. In other counties, it's separate altogether. I think that with the treasurer being the tax collector as well, it helps because it gives us a check and balance to make sure that the information's correct. I think that it also helps to split out the responsibilities and the duties, so it's not falling all in one department.
All right. Before I keep interrupting you here, just asking questions, because you're dealing with the taxes right now, and of course the budget. It's budget season also.
Yep.
Are you heavily involved in the budget process for the county?
So the treasurer is not heavily involved. We get the information once it's printed by finance. The folks that actually run the budget and do the majority of that work is our finance department. The finance director is the budget officer, and she runs through all the numbers, sends out all the forms that we need to fill out, brings all that information back in. She's a great resource for the departments to touch base and if they have questions, and she keeps us on track to where we need to be so that we can make sure that our budgets are done before the end of the year.
All right, so it's working together.
Yes, we work very closely with our finance department. I work very closely with our finance director, Ruth Nelson, who does an amazing job, is very knowledgeable, and is definitely somebody that knows what she's doing and is able to help. And then, you know, working together with her to, you know, understand what the budget is and how that looks. You know, we do a lot of the postings in the treasury office. And so we have to kind of look at when we get some of the stuff that we get in, you know, there might be, our system will throw a budget warning if something's not correct or if it's looking like it's going over or short. And so that's information that's in transmitted to the finance department.
What kind of budget warnings have you had to deal with? Is that a red light flashing?
No, it's just we pull a report when we've done our postings, and it'll, you know, a lot of things are things that that we have where, you know, different fees that maybe we weren't expecting to have that many fees. I see it a lot with a lot of times with our NSF fees that are charged to the departments when they have a check that's returned. And that's just because you expect to have fewer checks returned than you think you're going to have. And so sometimes that'll throw a warning saying, you're over your budget for those fees. And so it's not a major warning. It's just we get them and we see them and we kind of figure out, you know, why, what's going on with that and make sure it's all good.
Is it a slow part of the system or sometimes things are missing or late?
It's just, I think, a slow part of the system. It's just, you know, when we do our budgets, all those numbers are put into our accounting system. And so, you know, budgeting is not an exact science. I wish it was, because it would make things way easier when you're trying to do your budget. So you have to kind of guess and kind of play with the numbers to see, you know, what am I expecting in revenue? What am I expecting in these different expense categories? And sometimes, you know, they come out a little bit different. And so then it's just, you know, looking at that and saying, okay, well, that particular category came out $35 over. It's never been any kind of insane number. It's usually small numbers.
All right. I'm not a math person, but my math teacher always says, you know, math it's either right or it's wrong. And you just said that sometimes it's not. can you explain that? Or
yeah, so the math is always right,
yeah.
Or always
the
wrong.
Numbers are always correct.
They're always right. It's the kind of the human element of, you know, again, budgeting isn't that exact science. There's not a specific number that you can just plug in and say this is what I'm going to use and this is how, you know, and having. You can pull all the forecasts you want, which, you know, is what I do for my budget, is I pull back from, you know, historical data and kind of look at what has gone up and down throughout the years. And there's some years where the budget is, you know, like we had a 5% cut last year. So this year it's going to look like, you know, if we have a budget that was similar to previous to the 5%, it's going to look like it's a bigger increase than it really may have been in all said and done.
All right. So is this a busy time of year for your office?
It is. Trimesters are usually an uptick in our business. We had one of our staff members who joined the clerk's office just recently. So we're down a person. So it's a little bit busier even now. thankfully, I have my front line staff, Debbie. She's our senior in the office. And then my chief deputy, Kelly, who are amazing. We're running the office smoothly. So in total, we have four people in the treasury, and that includes myself. So I am a working treasurer. So when we get into these busy seasons and we're shorthanded, it can get a little crazy because we get a lot of people coming in. We get a lot of phone calls. But again, the staff, Kelly and Debbie, amazing at what they do. They keep that, they've been keeping the office running. We've been doing great. We haven't had a hiccup. And so it's really nice to be able to have that and to know that, you know, while I'm doing the stuff that I need to be doing as a treasurer, that the rest of the stuff is getting taken care of because I have a very competent and capable staff.
All right. When the trimester rush is over, how busy are you?
So we have a little
You're
bit of
You're not sitting back and kicking your feet up on the desk.
No. Every day is busy. As the treasurer, you know, we are dealing every day with the ins and outs of the money coming in. We're helping the departments with questions or, you know, issues that they may have. You know, we're looking at, as a treasurer, it's my job to make sure I'm overseeing that, also making sure that our money is invested in a way that's going to bring us meaningful returns to the best of my ability with what we have currently out there. We know that the rates are kind of down from this time last year. You know, so that's a part of it. The, you know, oversight of all the different accounts that we have. And then just, you know, looking at, like right now, one of the big pushes that we're having, my chief and I are looking at the way we do things and how we can do them more efficiently. You know, a lot of our reporting and a lot of our processes are all Excel based, which is very time consuming. So we're looking at ways that we can make those more efficient, more streamlined, so that it's not consuming a lot of our time to have to hand enter and then redundantly enter the information throughout the system or throughout the Excel worksheets.
How much leeway do you have to really change things or adjust things?
So obviously any money spent has to go through the board within the confines of the administrative policy. as far as actually changing the way that we do things, the treasurer has the ability to change things that are done in the treasury. So as elected officials, we each have basically oversight of our own departments, and no other elected official has, I don't want to say any say in how that's done, but they can provide advice or they can provide feedback. But ultimately how my office is run or how the treasury is run is my responsibility. And so I can make those changes as I need to do that.
All right. Do you see changes out there? You mentioned that you were looking at ways to streamline or make things more efficient. Can you do that? And will it cost more money?
So, yes, we can do that. Currently, some of the stuff we're looking at are for like our treasury, just a treasury management solution altogether, which will help more accurately track the investments and also give us some insight into what our cash flow looks like, what kind of trends we see maybe from year to year, so we know can we invest more money during this time? When does that money need to come out? When does that money need to mature so that we have that available for whatever expenses? Do we see months that have more expenses? So currently we are exploring using a vendor for that or using a vendor software for that. It will cost a small amount of money. And ultimately it's something that we would, advise, you know, speak to the board about, because if it costs money, we go to the board to make sure that we can do that. It's also something that we would get input from our finance department and from other departments that may use that. And so we are looking at that. It's something that we're hopeful that can help us, because we do use a lot of Excel, which Excel is wonderful. I love Excel. But when I'm writing formulas that are basically small programs to try and get information out that I need it, it becomes very time consuming.
All right. We'll try to figure more of that out when we come back. Right now, you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here. Our guest is County Treasurer Dustin Caldwell, right here on KAJO Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Want more customs?
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. Our guest is County Treasurer Dustin Calvo. And Dustin, we were talking just before that commercial break about bringing a vendor in to really handle, to handle some of the investments that the county makes. And I know that would cost money, but I assume we would do that in order to maximize return. Is that the idea? And how feasible is that?
So currently we're not looking at a vendor to help with the actual investment portion. It's just a software that would help us track those investments and be a little bit more in tune with where things are going and where, you know, so we know more of what we need to invest in order to make those high returns, but also make sure that we have the liquidity so that when we do have expenditures going out, that we're not scrambling to try to get that money in. There are vendors out there that do offer advisory services. We currently work with three brokerages, and those brokerages just give us the offerings and say, here's what we have. And so then it's, you know, I go through that information and make those decisions. So this wouldn't be bringing somebody, a vendor in per se, to do the investments. It would be bringing a software on potentially to help us just pay more attention to that, to have a tighter look at what that looks like, as well as our cash flow and kind of our forecast for the time being.
All right. Have there been times when you really needed to pull money out in order to remain liquid?
No. So we have not had to have that happen. One of the great things about our investment program is we are part of what's called the Local Government Investment Pool, which is run by the state treasury. And so we receive that money is all liquid to us as we need it, but it's also receiving a return. So as of last month, when we did our interest posting, we were getting a return of about 4% on that money. So that allows us to then pull it out. We also have the ability through our bank. We have a bank that we have a money market account with that matches what the LJIP rate is. So we're able to keep that money in the actual bank so we can transfer it as we need it. We haven't had to make anything that we have invested liquid again. So that's been a huge plus. And that's really what we try to look for, is to make sure that we don't have to do that. Because eventually, if you have to pull out that money after you've invested it, there is a cost to that. And so potentially the county loses money if we have to do something like that. So that's really where the software would be most advantageous, is to kind of look at making sure that we have enough money in our liquid accounts, but also making sure that we can get some of those higher returns from some of these agency bonds or U.S. Treasury notes.
All right, so we've got money coming in.
Mm-hmm.
We consider this a cash stream, a stream of money coming in constantly that we can rely on or budget? Or is this just, we'll put it away for savings?
So it's all put into the general fund. Well, let me back on. So a small portion of what we get in from our investments that we do go to the district. So they do get a small portion of that. They get a small portion. So we have two different accounts with our LGIP program, and one of them is just specifically for the taxing districts that we put the money away that we collect all month in there. They get the full portion of whatever that is divvied out to them. So this is money that can be used. It's not money that's earmarked for anything. And that's part of what, again, we're looking at trying to do, is figure out, you know, can we more accurately determine how much money is going to be coming in from these things, so we can use that to maybe budget some more money towards different things, or, you know, use that as part of the reserve, or use it in these different departments that may need it. And so that's something that, again, Excel is only so good at, and the amount of time that it takes to get it to be good, to be able to get that information takes up a lot of time for me. excuse me. Whereas if there were a software that kind of gave us that information, also it would make it easier to kind of put out there on, you know, our website. We don't have a lot of information out there right now, which is also something that we're trying to look at, how, you know, we can get that information out there with the processes we have currently. It's a lot of work to get the information out there and get it out there in a way that's meaningful to folks. Whereas if we have something that someone, you know, a software that does that for us, it makes it easier for us to kind of tailor those to what do folks want to see from us as the treasurer, as the treasury, as a tax collector. What kind of numbers are going to be meaningful for people to look at?
Okay, so you said earlier that you love Excel. You've also said that you're looking for something more efficient from Excel. So good luck with both of those. now here's the $64 question. And I think I just dated myself by using that term. how much money do we have invested? How big are investments here? Is that something you could share?
Sure. So currently we have between the bonds and the treasury notes through between LGIP and then also our money market, we currently have about $80 million invested. About $30 million of that roughly is in the actual bonds and treasury notes. The remainder of that is majority in LGIP, and then obviously a small amount in our money market account.
All right, so 4% return on that. Okay. Once again, I'm lost in the major math, mm-hmm. but I can see how it would be a significant portion of the county's available cash.
Right.
All right.
And so, you know, and then part of that is we've talked about the return on investment currently being about 3%. And that 3% takes into effect. So we have this 4% that we're kind of earning, and that number with LGIP will go down and up based off of the rates. But we're also looking at, we get during the time that we have this money invested with our agencies, with the agency bonds, and then with our treasury notes, more so with the agency bonds, we get interest payments throughout the time. So, you know, we get an agency bond that comes back and says 4.5% to maturity. So if we make it all the way to maturity, then we have a 4.5% return. Some of the issues that we see with agency bonds is they're called callables. And so that means that a lot of times we get 6 months to a year of call protection, which means that money stays in that investment for that long time. But after that time, those banks can say, okay, we're going to pay you out for this. And they're going to give us our money back with any of the additional interest. And some of those are 3 years, some of those are 2 years. We try to stagger and kind of ladder our returns on our investments. So that 3% seems like a lower number than it probably is, but that's because we're still not at maturity on some of these things.
Do we often make it all the way to maturity?
We have. We've had a few recently that have been called early or called before maturity, but we do see quite a few of them, especially when we look at like U.S. Treasury notes will go to maturity. And we do see quite a few of the bonds that actually do go to maturity. We see more calls when we see the interest rates kind of go up and down real quick, or we see things that, you know, maybe we started maybe we're getting a 5% return and now the interest rates are dipping. And so they're going to call that because they don't want to pay that 5% anymore. They want to get a lower rate. But we do see, I think a majority of our stuff go to maturity.
You're listening to KAJO, the Tuesday talk show. News coming up here in a moment or two, and then we'll open our phone lines in the next half hour. Stay tuned for the Tuesday talk show here on KAJO, Grants Pass. That seems to be catching this morning. Must be something in the air around here. The phone lines are open. If you have a question or comment for our guest today, the number is 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you hear your question or comment to our guest. Our guest today, Josephine County Treasurer, Dustin Calvo is in studio. And Dustin, once again, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. Last half hour, we dealt a lot of our time talking about some of the investments that Josephine County makes. How much time does that take of yours? Is that one of your major duties, or are you just kind of keep an eye on it?
So it is a major duty of the treasurer. It doesn't take a lot of time per se on a regular basis. It's kind of looking at where we're at financially, where we're at with, you know, what kind of liquidity we have, how much money we have in the different accounts, and then reaching out to those brokerages and saying what kind of offers are out there, what kind of agency bonds and U.S. Treasury notes, what are things that are performing well right now. Let me have that information so that we can then look at where we need to move some of this money. It takes time, but it doesn't take, you know, it's not a huge portion of my time. A lot of my time is done with just the day-to-day oversight of the accounts and making sure that things are correct. Bank reconciliations, you know, we're getting, you know, when we have audits, doing the audit paperwork to make sure that the stuff that they need from Treasury is done. So it takes time, but not an inordinate amount of time.
What's the most exciting part of your job?
The most exciting part of my job. It's a lot of numbers, so there's not a lot of excitement to that. I just think finding, you know, having the challenge of every day just kind of looking at things. And one of my favorite things to do is when there is, you know, when something comes up that wasn't posted correctly or doesn't look quite right, is then getting to research that and kind of figure out what happened and kind of that more I wouldn't say forensic accounting, but more of the, you know, digging in and kind of figuring out where things are and what things may have happened to put it there and how to move it back.
What percentage of time does that take from you?
As of late, it took quite a bit. We were doing a major project to kind of clean up some of the reconciliations from the previous treasurer. So that did take a good few weeks for me to get through all of that information and get that processed. On a regular basis, it probably takes, you know, it just depends on what's going on, what, you know, how many deposits we've had, how many different transactions we've had come in the bank. You know, again, huge shout out to my chief deputy who does most of that processing, and then, you know, the departments who keep track of that and really watch over their own accounts and then let us know if there's something maybe that doesn't look right in their accounts or maybe something got, you know, is missing 2 cents off of it. So it takes a little bit of my time. It's, you know, kind of that whole the whole thought of, you know, just what breaking out that time, everything kind of runs together when you're in there. So it's hard for me to say how much time that actually takes or how much time investment takes, because it all just kind of happens all day, every day, you know, Monday through Friday, 40 plus hours a week. You know, I'm there from 7 in the morning until 4:30 in the evening, basically straight through. So a lot of that just runs together and kind of jumbles and bits and pieces fall together where they do.
I see. So you're basically forensically auditing. Huh?
That's I wish. Yes. That's
kind of interesting. Yeah. So you're kind of fixing things or seeing if things need to be fixed when questions arise.
Yeah. So, you know, we've had, when I first came on back in March of last year, you know, we had departments that were calling out and saying, you know, we're missing this deposit. Where is it? And having to go back and kind of look for that and figure out, why did that not get deposited? Was it, you know, making sure that it wasn't deposited to maybe the wrong fund, and then having to go pull that out and just making sure that everything was going where it was supposed to be going. Our current accounting system is, it takes a little bit to get used to and to learn. And so, that's been a huge learning curve for me over the, you know, the first probably 6 months of my time there. It's not the most user intuitive program. But learning that and then learning how to pull those reports to make sure that the information is correct. And just kind of being, we're finally into a spot where, we can be proactive rather than reactive with a lot of this stuff. So we can make sure that we're, you know, looking at things on a weekly, monthly, daily basis, depending on what it is, rather than kind of playing catch up.
Let me point out some history too, if we have new listeners out there, because you mentioned the things that you took over from the previous treasurer, mm-hmm. who was elected and then held the office for a short period of time and left almost unexpectedly. And you were appointed to jump into that situation, which was probably not ideal at that time. And it looks like we're catching up at this point. Is that a fair assessment, just to keep people up to date?
Yeah. So I came on to as the chief deputy in March of last year. The treasurer who was elected and took office in January resigned in June. So just a little over 6 months. I was appointed in July, so I had been there for 4 months. I hit the ground running and I was able to learn a lot, and I knew the resources I needed. But there was a lot of catch up to do, because during that time I was learning, I had to then learn, had to take on the mantle of the treasurer and kind of go back and look at everything, because of the chief deputy, I did a lot of that. I did a lot of the work every day. But then when you're the chief deputy, you don't have the authority that you do as the treasurer. And so, you can't just go back and look at things or make, you know, changes or fix things the way they need to be fixed. You have to be able to work with the treasurer. And so that was difficult, because there was a lot of things that I was learning. There was a lot of things that he was learning. And, you know, it was a lot of information that needed to be gone through. And so we came on. So when I came on in July, as treasurer, when I was appointed, we just finished budgeting season. We were starting a new tax year. We had, you know, I had to replace myself as the chief deputy. We were coming into foreclosure time, delinquent tax season. We were in the middle of an interim audit.
you're clear. Okay.
In the middle of an interim audit, so learning how to, you know, where that, what information we were looking for and where to pull that from. And then we kind of just sailed right into tax season and, you know, one of our busiest time of the year. And that pretty much starts in October is when we start to, turn the tax, what we call turn the tax rolls. And we don't see really a slowdown until end of November. And part of the job as the treasurer and the tax collector is, we process a lot of the mail-in payments that come in. You know, we were processing 2,000-3,000 checks a day just from the stuff that we got in the mail. And that wasn't counting the multiple phone calls we were getting, you know.
And or the people like me who walk in and say, here.
Right. And, you know, that's really where the front line staff comes in, because they are able to handle that. And, you know, we would have lines down out the door and down the hall. And we got through that pretty quickly. A majority of what we got was phone calls from folks that were having issues with the phone payment system. We understand that it's cumbersome and it's kind of a beast to go through. Unfortunately, it's not our system. It's our third party vendor that does our payment processing. But we've since talked to them. We now have a live option for folks that maybe can't get through that. So we're going to be using that a lot more. We didn't use it before because at the time.
So this fall, it's going to be easier?
So yeah, so there are people who manage through the phone system just fine. And for those that can't, we do have a phone number that has a live agent on it. We weren't giving those out very often because at the time we were under the impression that there was a $5 extra fee for you to call that number. So it was something that we gave out very rarely because we didn't want to have people paying it $5 extra dollars to get a hold of somebody. We spoke to the vendor and we talked about it and talked about that they're, you know, the automated phone system was a bit harder to use. So then we were able to get that. And now there's no fee for that except for the fee that they charge to use the card. So we do have that option, which is hopefully going to help a lot this coming tax season, especially in November. You know, last year during the third trimester, I dealt with a lot of folks that were upset because they didn't get their trimester statements in January and February for their February payment. And so they were charged interest. And, you know,
ooh, okay.
Yeah, that was not a happy time for the Treasury, for tax collection, or for the folks that got those. Again, unfortunately, with the changeover, the treasurer that got in office in January just didn't get those out. And so then trying to explain to folks that, you know, again, these trimester reminders are just that, they're a reminder. They're not required by law. They're something that we do send out because we do know that people rely on those. But unfortunately, they didn't get caught. They didn't get done in
ultimately, the taxpayer is still responsible, though.
Correct.
Regardless of whether those go out or not, right?
Correct. So the only one that's required by law is the November one. And then the state of Oregon says that it's up to the taxpayer to know when their taxes are due. So, you know, it's – but also I can recognize that we've been doing these reminders for years and years and years. So people have come to rely on them as kind of another tax statement, another required bill. So that's why I'm so adamant about making sure they're getting out on time now, because I did see the effect of not getting those out, and I had to deal with that firsthand and really, you know, kind of navigate that for folks.
All right. Last fall when I went in to pay my taxes, it looked like everybody was there and busy, including you, running from desk to desk out there. So that must be a really busy time.
It is. It's all hands on deck. You know, we try to avoid any kind of time off during that time if we can, because it gets crazy in there. In fact, we bring on a part-time temp person just to open the mail and sort through the payments so that we can process those. You know, we're taking in payments. We're taking in payments via data exchange, which is something that the state runs for us, where we get the mortgage payments in. You know, the frontline staff are all taking payments from customers, answering the phone. I mean, I think there was a day that maybe I got a 5-minute break to not have to answer a phone call or a question because it was just back to back to back. So those are busy seasons. You know, it's a lot of running around and a lot of trying to make sure everything's getting done.
Every time I've been in there, I've been met with a smile by your staff. So you can take that and pass it along. And all of you stay tuned. We'll be back with more right after this word.
Has you taken care of from the ground up.
This is a Tuesday talk show, ladies and gentlemen. Number to call is 541-472-1270. If you have a question or comment for our guest today, the Josephine County Treasurer, Dustin Calvo, is in studio. And we've been talking about two of your jobs. First, one is a tax collector and one is a county treasurer. And we just finished talking about the taxes. Can you share personnel between the two offices, or is each one independent?
So the personnel, so my department is actually lumped together as treasury and tax collection. So my personnel does does it all. So,
so you can move people around if you need to.
Yeah. So they, so like my frontline staff, what they do is they take the tax payments, but they're also taking in the treasury deposits from the other departments. They're balancing the daily tax receipts. They're balancing the daily treasury receipts. So we, everybody in that department wears multiple hats or wears two, you know, two hats, one for treasury and one for tax collection. And so they, it just, it really all melds together at the end of the day, and it's kind of just moving in from one thing to the next. There's not a whole lot of delineation between the two when it comes to staff and with, you know, kind of doing the things that we do.
All right, next question. You've served as both deputy and as treasurer. Now you have a deputy. What's the difference between the two, and do you handle that differently than you had been handled before just because you've been in that position?
So the difference between the chief deputy and the treasurer is the chief deputy is also a sworn position. So they are sworn in when they are hired because in the event of the treasurer no longer being there, something happening to the treasurer, they kind of step in as that interim treasurer.
And so you work very closely.
So, yeah, we work hand in hand. She, the majority of what she does is she focuses on the daily banking of the county, kind of making sure that things are going where they're going. She's the point of the main point of contact for our departments and for our accounting staff in those departments. And I think I do handle that a little bit differently because I was in that position. I very much value her opinion, and I ask that she uses her critical thinking to try to find ways that we can do things better, or to, you know, if maybe I'm doing something in a way that she thinks is to challenge me. I mean, not in a disrespectful way, obviously, but to challenge my thinking and say, well, can we do it this way? Or maybe this is a better way. I rely on her. I mean, she's amazing at what she does. She was the, so prior to me coming on, it was just a deputy position. It wasn't a chief deputy. When the previous treasurer took office, they decided to give him a chief deputy. Where when Eve was in office, it was just a deputy position. So she was the deputy before I came in. And then I brought her back on because I knew that her experience was valuable, and she has, you know, just taken off, and she, you know, she deals with the day-to-day stuff at the front counter for the most part. You know, I am just very grateful that I was able to get her in my office and to be my chief deputy, because this office wouldn't be running the way it is without her. And it's the same thing with my senior staff, Debbie. I mean, I couldn't do this job without either one of them, because it is so much to be done, so many different moving parts that they handle their stuff and they handle it. I have complete confidence and trust in them. They are just amazing, amazing folks that do this job. You know, they allow me to be able to do what I need to do to make sure that I look at the big picture and that I can make sure that the county funds are running the way they're supposed to be doing, and to really make sure that we're in compliance with everything. So, you know, I can't talk enough good about Kelly, my chief deputy, and then also my senior staff, Debbie, and the amazing work they do and how much they are of help to me.
All right. We've got about 4 minutes. Pardon. Did you bring that in with you?
I probably did.
We've got about 4 minutes left. What do people need to know about the treasurer's office and the tax collector's office that will make your job easier? That might answer some of those questions that come in. What do you know? What do you think people out there really need to know about what you do?
I think that they just need to know that, you know, the treasurer and the treasurer is, you know, someone who is an elected position. They, you know, I personally make sure that I am working for the folks of Josephine County. You know, and that we're not looking at, you know, we're not in a position to try to make changes like policy or how we spend money, but know that we're protecting the money to the best of our abilities. You know, also, especially with tax collection, is, you know, folks, a lot of the information for their taxes is online, josephinecounty.gov, through the treasury and tax section. You know, if someone has a question of where their tax money is going, it's on their tax statement for them when they get it in November. You can look at all of your past bills. You can look at all your receipts that you've made. You know, during April time, we get a lot of, hey, I need a copy of what I paid for taxes because I need to do my federal taxes.
Yes.
All that's available online. You know, understand that, you know, we are a small office. We have very few people. I have a total of 3 staff, and one of those is a chief deputy. I have 2 frontline staff. That's the bare minimum that my office can work with, 4 of us, including myself. So just know that we're doing what we can, and we are being efficient to the best of our ability. And, you know, there's going to be some times where we just don't have the staff to be open. And we try to make sure that that's, if it's something that's planned, that we make notice of that as far out as possible on the website. And, you know, we always post something on our door. You know, if there's something that comes up in the, on the fly, you know, sometimes we can't make that notice. But we have ways, especially with tax collection, you can make your payments online. You know, you can make them over the phone. There's a Dropbox. And the big thing with the Dropbox that I think everybody should realize is it's the worst Dropbox we've ever, that ever lived, because it is hidden underneath the ledge of the window. So last year we actually went out and drew arrows on the box with permanent markers so that people could see where it is, because it is hidden. You know, one of the things that we're looking at trying to do this year with the budget coming up is, you know, make some improvements to the safety and security of the office. And that's one of the things that's on my list, is we need to figure out a way that people can see that tax Dropbox, because a lot of people just don't see it. And it's not any fault of their own. It's just the way that it's in there. So there's always options to make your payment. And, you know, even if we're not open, there's ways to make your payment or to get the information that you need usually.
All right. Best contact information for you. You want to give a phone number or email? You tell me.
Sure. So to get a hold of us, it's 541-474-5175. If you need to get a hold of the tax collector, it's taxcollector@josephinecounty.gov. And then for the treasurer, it's treasurer@josephinecounty.gov.
All right. Dustin Calvo, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
All right. And to all of you, just a quick reminder that we'll continue our candidate interviews tomorrow beginning at 9:30 in the morning. Let me see if I can run this out. Indra Nicholas will be first. Jim Rafferty, Dwayne Yunker, and Rhiannon Hankels are on the list to be interviewed tomorrow right here on KAJO Radio. This is KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon.